Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is time, another Virginia Renaissance Fair Day, and excited about all the fun and the information we'll get. Cornelia Rutherford is here, Shirley Shields is here, and Anna Higginbotham is here. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for getting up and coming in this morning.
Good morning, Ted. We're back.
May 11th through June 9th on the weekends at Lake Anna Winery. It's all coming together.
It is coming together, and the reason I brought Shirley and Anna today is because Shirley is our character and script director, and she can speak a little to this year's theme. As you know, every year the fair has a storyline.
Yeah.
It's basically the only scripted bit in the entire show. Everything else is improv. But there's a storyline. You know, we've done science, we've done women's rights, we've done exploring the world, we've done a lot of stuff. And this year, and I know this will really surprise you, it's voting, it's elections.
How interesting.
Yes. And then I brought Anna because she is one of the protagonists in this story.
Being a protagonist in this story, is that fun for you?
Yes. Well, you know, the director said to me, he came up to me and he said, I have some concerns. And I got very scared because I thought that meant I was going to be kicked out of the fair. He said, I have some concerns because you need to be the absolute center of attention at all times. And I said, Chris, I was born for this role. So,
wow, to be told that you're going to be the center of attention in something like this.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I think there's a lot of pressure. We just started working on our scripts and our fight scenes. So there's going to be a lot going on during the day, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think the audience is going to really like it.
So you're involved in fight scenes?
Yes. We have 3 fight scenes throughout the day.
When we talk about fight scenes, and so much of what happens at the fair, Cornelia, really is. I mean, a lot of these things are scripted out as far as something like that.
The fight scenes are choreographed. It's like a dance. And Anna, Judah, and Bobby are all learning their various fight bits. Bobby is the bad guy. You know,
yeah.
Master Quill is not Master Quill this year. And he is the bad guy.
He's a bad guy?
He's a bad guy. We're going to see how that goes.
He's big.
Because I will tell you right away that Anna is the perfect foil for this.
I exceed at everything I do.
Yes, that's probably true.
Yeah, so I guess I'm the protagonist to Bobby being the antagonist. And so in our first fight to really kind of vilify him, he beats the crap out of me. He really throws me down.
Yeah.
But then in another one of our fights, we actually get to use swords, which is going to be a lot of fun, I think. We've been choreographing that one. And in that one, I do hold my own a bit better.
Here's the thing about the fight scenes, those of you who are listening, those are live steel swords.
Yeah.
Even if some of them are actually blunted and things, they're still steel and they still hurt. So here is the thing we tell everyone. Yes, it is real and no, you can't touch it. They're real swords and you can't take my sword. It's mine.
I think it was last year when we did one of these shows and Bobby Hebert was in here and talked about all the training he did for this.
Right.
That there is a lot of training, like you said, the choreographing and just for safety.
Oh, and it's not just fight scene safety. There's a lot of safety. We are out in that field wearing a sofa essentially for hours. We're dressed pretty much by 9 o'clock in the morning. And we don't get out of those clothes until 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. And that entire time, you're running around. You are, it's either hot or it's cold. You're talking a lot, so you're losing a lot of fluids. You've got to keep hydrated. You've got to watch out for the bugs. I got my inaugural tick bite for 2024 last
Yay.
Sunday. So there's a lot of things you have to take into account, and then you add the fisticuffs kind of fighting where grabbing hair kind of thing like that,
yeah.
and making it look like a real physical fight. And then we're going to add blades and weaponry. So that's a third level. Safety is a big, big part of what the entire cast is trained on.
So, Annie, you're the one who's, at the end of the day, I mean, you're the one who's bringing, I mean, you know, Quill, who is beloved, you've changed him.
I don't know if anyone has the power to actually change
that's
Quill.
That's true.
But if anyone could do it, I could.
I like your confidence.
You have to have confidence when you're, you know, wielding a blade like that, because it's really about trust between you and your partner. Because as our fight directors keep saying, Bobby and I are not actually opponents. We're friends. We like each other. We don't want to injure each other. So there's a lot of trust involved in each of the blows, making sure we have eye contact, making sure we know what's about to happen and who's about to swing and who's about to parry. And then Shirley, of course, has been working on the acting portion of that, which I haven't even gotten started on, because right now I'm just concentrating on how to move my blade, let alone looking good while doing it.
Yeah. So Shirley, you work with everybody. You're in close touch in working with everyone in the main cast, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of what I do is focused on like the scripted stuff and the storyline, and I also help new cast develop their characters, returning cast develop new characters, and help make sure everything works as an ensemble. Making sure that there's not too much overlap, making sure that the actors are comfortable with each other in order to get that sort of small town feeling. Staffordshire is a small town. People did not leave. They just going to the next town over, Litchfield, was a huge undertaking. People really didn't travel all that much. So everyone would know each other, and just helping sort of build that feeling for people to come into and experience.
And I guess some of that they build just during, while every weekend right now, while you're all on site and getting everything ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the downtime is helpful for the actors themselves getting comfortable with each other, and then just helping integrate the newer cast into things, and also a focus on how their characters would interact. And not just keeping it just as focused. We put a lot of emphasis on their job, in a sense, because that's an easy hook. But people aren't just their job, you know. They also go out drinking and all that kind of stuff. So finding those casual bits, those ways of interaction, mm-hmm. to make it not feel like you just kind of spawned in a video game NPC kind of way, but that you actually exist in the world, and then you're just kind of stumbling upon them while you're visiting the fair.
They spend a lot of time working on character development, and part of your character is your backstory. Who are your family? How are you related to other people? Where did your family come from? What did they do? What is your family lore? And that lets you know how you may be related to other people. When you flesh out that character and you wear that character and become aware of all the people around you and their characters, you tend to forget for that 8 hours and 30 minutes every day the person that you are Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And you become that character. But what Shirley said about the ensemble effect and the cohesiveness, that's particularly vital when you're doing an entirely improvisational event with a 360-degree audience who can come up and touch you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no fourth wall. It's not a stage production. It's not an illusion in that sense. We are creating a full experience all the way around. And without that practice and that character training, it wouldn't work. It's not possible. We want you to come and feel like you're in a real town. And I think we've been pretty good at it.
Yeah, one time a guy just straight up handed me his baby. Like, he didn't say anything to me. He just walked up, handed me his child, and then took a picture of us. And I was like, do you want this back? I mean, it was an infant. And I was like, do you want this back? I mean, you should put this in my arms. I could run away right now. I don't know why we didn't have a conversation before this. But he took his picture, and I was like, okay, here you go. And then he took his baby back and walked away. So I think we worked on the breaking the fourth wall.
I think so. Yeah, right. What a great example.
And one of the things that, it's a story I've told in the past, is I was walking through Potomac Mills in jeans and a T-shirt with my daughter and her baby, and we were just walking along, and we're talking and talking, and a man walked past me with this tall, blonde kid, 14, 15 years old. And they walked past, and then they came running back, and the man looked at me, and he said, it's you. And I went, was me earlier today? Yes, I probably still am. And he said, grabs this kid, and he goes, do you know this kid, this boy? I didn't know that child. Well, as it turns out, 7 or 8 years earlier, I had been working with children during the children's knighting, and he was a little boy who was afraid to be knighted. So I sat down on the ground and I put him in my lap, and then the queen knighted me over his shoulder, and the father and the boy never forgot it. And even though it is years later, yeah, and I'm in a mall in jeans and a T-shirt, he recognized my voice. And that is making an impression on someone.
Yeah.
And that is our goal. That man that took the picture with Anna and the baby will show that child that picture, mm-hmm, and probably drag it out when the kid starts dating and go, hey, you want to see something? So I think it's a gift that the Virginia Renaissance Fair has, that we can give memories.
Yeah.
We create them and they last.
VARF.org for ticket information. You have to have tickets. You needed to get them online before you go to the fair this year. We'll talk about that as we go along this morning too. Cornelia Rutherford is here, Shirley Shields and Anna Higginbotham here for the Virginia Renaissance Fair, and more coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning, and it begins at Lake Anna Winery May 11th through June 9th on Saturday and Sundays. And Cornelia Rutherford, you need tickets ahead of time this
year. Absolutely. Last year, if you were sitting in that massive traffic jam out on 208, you know that we had a little bit of a problem. It was a good problem,
yep,
but no one anticipated a 100% increase in attendance opening weekend. Nobody. Overall, last year, we had about a 60% increase in overall attendance. And that meant people needed to be parked quickly, and it just overwhelmed us. And I apologize up front that we had that, but no one expected it. So this year, we're going to try and manage that in a couple of ways. First of all, I'm going to ask everyone, carpool. If you're meeting your friends, don't meet them at the fair. Meet them at a local shopping center. They've got parking. They're ready for you. And then bring one car, mm-hmm, if you can. I got a call from a gal this week who is bringing 24 people from Alexandria in a party bus, which is ideal. It'll drop them off and go somewhere and come back and pick them up, on top of which they don't need a designated driver or five. And we also have a group coming from Norfolk from an aircraft carrier, and I have stressed to them that buses are your friends, so I believe they're busing them up. The other thing we're doing is buy your tickets online. There are a limited number of tickets every day, and that way we know we won't sell more tickets than we can park people.
Yeah.
So that's, and it's a generous amount. It's a generous number of tickets, but we need to be able to plan for it.
So keep that in mind. We'll talk about this in more today and in the days ahead. Before we go on, Shirley, what got you involved with the Virginia Renaissance Fair? How old were you, or when did you look at this and say, that's me?
Oh, boy. So my first year at fair was actually back in 2010. I was My birthday's always like around when we start rehearsals, so it takes me a minute. I believe that was when I was turning 14. I have now turned 28, if that gives anyone a scale of time. Essentially, the year before, I think we had stumbled into... So I was in Girl Scouts when I was younger, and my mother was the leader, and so we did various activities. Mm-hmm. And we went to a library event where... I'm not sure if it was a VARF-hosted event or if there were just some VARF people there, but it made us learn about it, and we went to the fair that year, and then... Then it was like, well, we got to do this. And so I and a couple of the Girl Scouts and my mother joined up the following year. And, you know, I'm still standing.
Yes. And we recognized early on that Shirley had that je ne sais quoi that would be perfect to grow into a real management type position. And she's done great.
And you need that. I mean, you need all kinds.
Well, I ain't getting any younger, Ted.
Well, I'm not saying that.
But that's just it. We need to keep bringing in young people and infecting them with this thing that we call the Virginia Renaissance Fair to get them 14 years later. And Anna, I don't know what brought you in, but you've been with us for a number of years, even coming from the left coast when she was living out there briefly.
Yeah. I have an obsession with the fair. It's a real problem. I actually started as a vendor. I was in another historical reenacting group, and somebody said, well, I have a booth at the Virginia Renaissance Fair, and I need an assistant. Would you like to join me? And I was like, I don't know what a Renaissance Fair is, but sure. And so I joined, and that was the year I turned 18. And I showed up, and I was like, oh, these are my people. And so I kept working for another 2 years, maybe three. And then in 2019 was my first year as a cast member. So I feel like I had a good sense of the fair as a vendor. But then from a cast perspective, it's completely different.
You seem to have a ball with it. I mean, you just enjoy. It's kind of like, tell me what my role is.
Oh,
and I'll
yeah.
figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, I had decided to make a career change. So I had quit my job, and the timing was perfect. And I was like, well, I am still going to make my career change, but I'm going to take a month off and fly. I was living in California. I was like, I'm going to fly back to Virginia for 5 weeks and do the fair. And then I'll start this new career. And I did that. And then last year, I was still on the West Coast. So I just flew over for a weekend and did a weekend. And then this year, I'm living here again, so I'm getting to be full cast, which is so gratifying.
Wow, Anna, you are somebody that really infected with the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Yes, publicly over the radio, I'd like to say that I'm infected. With love for the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
You know, it really amazes me. Last year, we had a number of people who actually do not even live in this country anymore, who made a point of coming back and being cast for a few weekends. And once you've gone through the training and you've had a season or two, it's in you. It's like riding a bike, literally, I think. But it's so fun to see Aurelia or Travis or Brianna, you know, one of them wander down the hill with all their schmutz on their shoulders at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I don't half the time know they're coming. And then they're there. My gosh, you came all the way across an ocean. And she said, well, of course, it's fair season.
Well, that's got to make you feel really good, Cornelia, because you really emphasize the family aspect of this every year.
It brings out the mom in me. It really does. I see these people, and some of them, you have to understand, I've known these adults since they were in high school.
Yeah.
And now they've got kids in college. So I'm grandmama as well. So it's a lot of fun.
Shirley, with you with the script and as Cornelia said to begin with, it's not, people aren't learning lines and all kinds of things, but there's a story that kind of goes through. What she mentioned voting is one of the things this year. What's going on this year at the fair?
So this year our sort of overall theme is government in Elizabethan England. It is time for Staffordshire to elect its newest member of parliament. And it just so happens to coincide that the calling of the rolls for the vote is the same day that the Queen's coming. So it's a very busy day for Staffordshire. We have Sir William Stafford is sort of running the election. And the current sheriff, newly appointed sheriff, Sheriff William Blackthorn, is the holder of the role. The role was essentially, before we did blind, how to explain the horosity of this? The role is essentially the list of eligible voters who would then be called to make their vote at the appointed time. So he is the holder of the role. Essentially, he's the one that has the list of people who can vote, which makes some people in the town a little bit nervous, like a particular upstart washerwoman, Ivy Higgins, who takes great umbrage at this fact that Blackthorn is both a nominee and the holder of the role. This feels like bad politics. her disagreement with this matter ends up getting her a very unprecedented nomination for Parliament herself. But we'll roll with it.
Boom chick.
Oh my goodness. Stafford just wants people to be happy. And if the people want Higgins, then, you know, he'll present it. He can't say what's going to happen after. But if that's what happens, that's what happens.
There's a small problem to see. Women don't get the right to vote in England until a few years before we got it here in the United States. But in order to vote, you need to be a landowner. And a landowner with a dangly bit. You have to be a male landowner.
Okay.
And now we've got this woman, this washerwoman, and so we've got a whole lot of things we can talk about, not just the election and the potential for corruption, but damn it, we've got women's rights.
If the Queen can do it, why can't I?
There you go.
Wow, I see already. You've slipped back into character during this show.
A little, yeah, because and Bobby and I talked a lot about this, you know, because as the villain, he can't just be the bad guy. He has to think that he's doing good.
Yeah.
You know, no good villain thinks that they're a bad guy. They think that they're good. So we talked about how in his eyes, he's upholding and preserving the true tradition of England and the English government, whereas I'm coming in and kind of wrecking all of that. Whereas from my eyes, I'm just seeing blatant political corruption, and this infuriates me. And I didn't even intend to get nominated. I just wanted to bring up the corruption. But then the townsfolk kind of nominate me as well. And I'm like, well, why can't I do it? What's wrong with that?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Need to take a quick break and to continue on this morning. The Virginia Renaissance Fair at Lake Anna Winery, May 11th through June 9th on the weekends. You'll need to get tickets online. VARF.org is where you do that. Cornelia, Shirley, and Anna hear more on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The Virginia Renaissance Fair is back at Lake Anna Winery May 11th through June 9th. It's on Saturday and Sundays, those weekends. There are themed weekends, and we'll get into that once the fair gets going. I'm not even going to do you.
Good.
I'm
don't
not going to ask you to tell
remember.
You. I didn't. I was going to write them down, and I didn't. And I figured that'll be for another show.
Yeah.
But you do that on weekends, and it's an all day. You can make it an all day affair, and the day will fly by.
Absolutely, there are things that go on. Starting the gates open at 10 o'clock. In the morning, the queen arrives and says, open wide the gates. But before she arrives with her glittering entourage, there's a setup show at the front gate. And the people who know about that show always arrive early. So you're welcome to come in, you know, anytime after 9 o'clock, come on in, get your, have breakfast out in the parking lot, just pick up your litter. You know, come early and catch that setup show, because that's what sets up the storyline for the entire day. And then there's things from the very second you walk through that gate. There's lots of hands-on activities. There's a really good educational show down in the military where Mistress Hilly talks about cooking in the 16th century. And she has an actual stove and staff, and she really cooks these things. Plus, she has a cookbook up at the gift shop that you can buy, a little one. But there's stuff going all day long. And after about 2:30, 3 o'clock when the heat comes out, we tend to get a little more sedate. And there's a lot of more intellectual things going on down in the woods. There's the Ladies' Court of Love. Ladies, you know that thing that you bring up every time you have an argument with your significant other that maybe happened years ago and you save it? It's your trump card. This is where you take it. And then there's also the Court of Common Pleas, and you may bring a case to the Court of Common Pleas, which is actually run by a Aurelio Trulio lawyer. And there's just lots of things hands-on. There's the archery contest every day, right around 2, I believe. There's the jousts that run twice a day. So there's millions of things to do, not just walk around and look at. Plus, there's all these great stage acts and tons of vendors. We have so many vendors this year, you won't believe it.
So, VARF.org. Correct. All kinds of information. Facebook has stuff too that'll keep you up to date.
Right. There's a couple of Facebook sites. There's the Virginia Renaissance Fair fan page where you can interact with a lot of other people and you can chit chat. And then there's the official company page, Virginia Renaissance Fair on Facebook.
So VARF.org, Virginia Renaissance Fair. It's at Lake Anna Winery out Courthouse Road in Spotsylvania. And May 11th through June 9th. Cornelia Rutherford is here. Shirley Shields is here. And Anna Higginbotham is here this morning talking about all of this. One of the great things about the fair is you have the props that you bring in are fabulous. And I'll start off with you just because I think and we get all kinds of props in here. But your prop is particularly interesting. You are knitting is, I guess, the best way to describe that.
Yes, I'm knitting, for those who can't see, it's a rather large ball of yarn and incredibly large knitting needles. They're taller than my water bottle. They're quite thick. I got them for my birthday one year from my sister. She said, I have no idea what you're going to do with these, but I saw them and I thought that Anna needed those. And I was like, okay, I mean, I'll figure something out. And the great thing about having a prop like this is, like Cornelia was saying, kind of in the afternoon, you know, we get tired as well. And so when our patrons are tired and we're tired, it makes for, you know, not necessarily the best improvisation. And that's when I bring this out, because then the prop kind of does a lot of the work for me.
Yeah.
Because people see it and they reach out to me. And it kind of breaks down any barriers of shyness because we have this medium between us to talk about. Children love it. They love running around with it. It goes everywhere. It goes on the ground. It, you know, it happens. I pick leaves off of it usually nightly. But and then people who know more than me about knitting or crocheting, they'll come up to me and they'll start talking. And then they'll usually talk to me like I know what I'm talking about, which I don't. So that's always fun to navigate. But I think everybody gets a real big kick out of it. It's just a normal object, but it is very oversized.
Because it's oversized and like you're just braiding something right now?
So this is a simple knit stitch. It's the literal only one I know, so don't ask me to do anything fancy. And you just loop it around the needles and it does the work for you. Sometimes I get people to carry the ball of yarn for me while I walk around and I'm knitting and they're carrying, and that has even more propensity for bits because I can storm away and they can be kind of yanked along with me, or the ball can unravel, and it's just a lot of fun to mess around with.
Well, the fact that your sister saw that and thought of you, I think says a whole lot about you.
Yeah, I don't know where she was going with that, but it worked out in the end, and it's given me a good amount of fame around the fair, so I guess I have her to thank for that.
For those of you who can't see us, because of course we're on radio, the yarn she's knitting with, and for the knitters, it's a garter stitch, The yarn she's knitting with is about an inch and a half in diameter per strand. It's enormous. The ball is 18 inches across.
And she's knitted a fair amount already. So.
Yes.
No, but that's the great thing. Because it's so thick, like, it goes really fast, and it makes me look like I'm working harder than I am. But it's literally like 14 stitches that I've done. It's just really big.
I've done like two or three rows. I've been watching.
Well, you're better at math than I am, so.
It's interesting though because Cornelia in the usually we have, and it's always really interesting. It's a lot of the military kind of things you'll bring in. This shows you that there are other things beside that.
There are. I brought a prop as well, costume prop. This is a child's farthingale. Now, a farthingale is a 16th century hoop skirt. It's the hoop that goes under your skirts and holds your skirts out away from your body.
Oh, yeah.
This is for an 8 or 9 year old child. Now, when I say child, I don't mean girl. I mean child, because in the 16th century, children are dressed as their parents are dressed. So if you are a noble child, here's the hoops on the inside. If you are a noble child, you will be wearing the hoop skirt proportional to your size that your mother wears. Boys wear skirts too, including those hoops, until they're breeched, which is potty trained. And they wear them usually until age 6 or 7. Potty training at this time is not as stringent as it is now because they're not trying to get these kids into daycare. And the way, when you look at portraits, you'll see a mom and a dad and, say, three lovely children all dressed in small skirts with hoops underneath. You'll spot the boys because they've got a belt with a play sword on it, with a wooden sword attached. And that's how you can tell it's the boys. Otherwise, they're dressed almost identically until they are breeched, and that's when the boys start wearing trousers or slops, pants. They will be dressed as their father.
Okay. Boy, Anna, that remains, even when you're not doing anything with it, even when it's just sitting there, it's interesting.
That's what I'm saying. It does the work for me. When I'm tired, when I don't know what to say to people.
Just pull that out.
Pull that out. It's a real attention grabber.
Fascinating. Well, I guess, Shirley, do you have a prop?
I mean, how could I compete?
You can't. You can't. I think it was probably wise to just decide.
I mean, I just support my dudes.
Yeah.
Shirley themselves is a prop, though.
Yes. Props is something we work on in rehearsals. When you're building your character, what is your prop? You can use your garment. You can carry something. Ladies carry a basket. My favorite thing is playing What's in Lady Burley's Basket. She's got all kinds of little bits and pieces she can pull out. And then there's props. Anna's prop is brilliant. But there's all kinds. And, of course, the militia has an embarrassment of riches when it comes to props.
Right.
They've got, you know, halberds and partisans and swords and stocks and you name it. So, but everywhere you go, a prop gives you something to talk about, because our goal at the end of the day is to make sure you've learned something about the 16th century that you didn't know when you got there. Hmm. And that's we're an educational nonprofit. So education can be fun and can be entertaining and can be very subtle. We guess what we go for.
And because like you say, Anna, you're doing this all day, and at times you do need just a mental break. And in your case, you're right. You pull out that, and everything shifts from you to that.
Well, yeah, and you know the oversized yarn. Obviously, that's more of a bit of a joke. It's not necessarily what people did during the Renaissance. But I think an important thing that the Renaissance Fair teaches people is that at the end of the day, these are just people just like us. They had the same needs. They lived in a different time. They had different technology, certainly. But at the end of the day, it's just people going about their lives. Because we've talked about, people get a real big kick when you eat your lunch out on the field. Because normally I just run backstage and shove a sandwich in my mouth. But a lot of people have accurate food, so meats, cheeses, bread, fruit, and they have proper plates and bowls. Shirley has a great collection, I think, of wooden bowls.
I do have a fair amount of wooden bowls. I do tend to just sort of sit in the middle of the field during lunchtime and go like, nom, 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 and just kind of chat with people as they pass by. They're like, okay. And I'm like, hi.
And I think it adds to the immersive experience. Yeah. It's just people behaving like people, but from the Renaissance.
People have always been people.
Shirley, when you're working on, and Shirley Shields works with the character script, and you mentioned earlier how sometimes, I mean, people's roles can change from year to year. You need different people for different roles, and is it always easy for people to make role changes, or do you have people saying, I just don't want to, I want to do what I do?
To be honest, most of any big character changes tend to be actor driven. So for instance, we've mentioned before that Bobby, who fans of the show may know as Quill more famously, is William Blackthorne this year. And this was essentially from last year. He was like, hey, can I be a bad guy?
Oh, so he wanted to do this.
He wanted to be a bad guy. He asked me last year, and so when we were doing the scripted or the storyline for this year, I was like, yeah, you can be the bad guy. That'll be fun. And he came up with the name, and we just kind of talked about, like, okay, so what are your motivations? What kind of bad guy are you going to be? How are you going to approach this? That sort of thing. What are your motivations for character stuff? I like to focus on... every character should have an answer to what do you like, what do you hate, and what do you want most of all. And if you have those three things and a decent amount of improv skill, you can really convey a very full character, even with just that.
And to have every character know that, mm-hmm. You never know who's going to come up to you. And either ask you those things, or you'll be able to develop your character knowing that those are the parameters.
Yeah, and even if you don't, like, explicitly state, like, oh, this is my favorite thing, but that's how you interact with people. Like, let's say, like, the thing you want most of all is to impress the queen during the dances. Then when the queen's around, maybe you're being a little flowy. You know, if it's dance time, you're really putting it in your all, or maybe even because you want it so much and you flub it a little, and that's your reactions later on. Or maybe you're inviting, oh, you look like the best dance partner to help me, you know, impress the queen. So just having these internal motivations, and then gives you a starting off point in order for interactions.
Yes.
You've told me, Cornelia, over the years, and I really see it just from what we've talked about today. When the people involved, you walk away from this, and even the people who come, the people in the cast, you not only learn about the Renaissance, you learn so much, the people in the cast, that's going to help you in life, whether you're in acting or not.
It's a fun thing. Some of the things that we train people to do, they actually have to do their own research. And luckily, we have the internet, which you didn't used to have. There's a plethora of wonderful information out there. There's also a thing for those of you who are younger than 20. There are libraries. They keep books there. It's really exciting. But there's lots of ways to learn more and to develop your own particular character. And we task people to do basically as little or as lot research as they want to add parts to flesh out their character. And one of the things I teach is have a fun fact. Know one thing, at least, that people might not know. And just find it, and you can incorporate it into your script. But that little fun fact, everybody loves a little trivia. So and what I've found is when people start researching, they fall down the rabbit hole. And it's a great way to suddenly lose 2 or 3 hours sitting looking for that fun fact. Well, this is good, but I bet there's another one. And the next thing you know, you've got five.
I wish my radio name could be William Blackthorne.
Oh,
what a great name.
It's such a Bobby creation.
It is. I keep looking at it and thinking, I can so see him coming to you, Shirley, and say, I want to be a bad guy.
Being a bad guy is a brave thing. We had a young man named Jason Lamy who for years, a couple of years, played the most incredible bad guy ever. And it made him sad after the end of the second year because he was such a
good,
convincing
bad
guy that people avoided him. And he was mainly a comic character that decided, oh, I want to be a bad guy. And he was a brilliant actor. So it made him sad after a while to be a bad guy. So with Bobby and Shirley's working together, the collaboration, they're going to make him a more sympathetic bad guy. Well, I mean,
I think Bobby's natural charisma will help him in the off hours.
I think he's the bad guy that you like to defy, especially he's so good with children. And I think his role this year is almost to be like the angry adult that you rally against. You know, he's even in rehearsals during some of our improv games, he's kind of like glared at the kids, but in a way that you can tell that almost over-exaggerated.
Yeah.
So you can tell he's not angry, you know. He's like the bad guy that you love to hate almost.
Need to take a quick break and wrap this up this morning. Virginia Renaissance Fair at Lake Anna Winery, May 11th through June 9th, varf.org. Tickets, you have to buy them online ahead of time this year. We'll take a quick break and conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Virginia Renaissance Fair, May the 11th through June 9th at Lake Anna Winery. Before we get out of here, Cornelia Rutherford, Carpool.
Right. Parking is what drives, no pun intended, what drives the limitation to the ticket sales because we're limited on parking. And also it takes a while to get in off 208. So be patient, carpool, and get your tickets online. I can't wait to see you all.
And tickets will be limited because you get them online and you don't want to have the situation from last year. So get them now. If you know when you're going to go, get them.
Right, right. We're only selling as many as we know we can park.
Shirley Shields, are you ready for, I mean, you seem like you've worked with, you're working with everybody and with character development and all. You all seem to be really excited about this year's Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, we have a great crop of actors. We have a lot of very enthusiastic people, and I think it'll be a fun year. It'll be a fun year.
Anna Higginbotham, you've got the greatest prop. It is an oversized yarn ball, I guess, is what you would say, and you're the protagonist.
Yep.
In this year's program.
I'm ready to play. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to roll around in the grass and have a lot of fun with everybody. And thanks, Mom, for listening.
And the fact that you came back and were, and you know, you were out in California and made sure you could come back for this, that just says a whole lot of things just about the fun and the group that you have here.
Oh, it's a great group of people. I recommend this fair to literally anyone and everyone who can come.
All right. And it's been great, and we'll see you again, right, Ted?
We have many. We've got several more shows planned as things go on. Again, don't wait on tickets and that kind of thing.
They are selling. To be honest, they're selling faster than we anticipated. So I would definitely go online and look at the website. It has the various themes. There's Celtic and pirate and military, Shakespeare, fantasy, and romance. So make sure you go out, pick your weekend, get your tickets ahead of time.
VARF.org for the Virginia Renaissance Fair. Cornelia Rutherford here, Shirley Shields here, and Anna Higginbotham here this morning. Thank you all. Can't wait to see you at the fair. And thanks for doing this and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting us. Thank you so much.
That is it. Thank you for listening. VARF.org. We'll see you in the morning.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.